You know, we come here this morning to say, hallelujah, thine the glory. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we came this morning, and it was kind of an unusual morning here. It started off by me being all excited and coming to church, and got so excited. I walked out the door, and I got to my office, and I had the notes for the last sermon. And I started to preach it. Just to see if you guys caught on. Amen? But today, I come to you saying grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the Word of God with you, whether in printed or digital format, would you hold your Bibles up in the air all over the sanctuary? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And for those of you that are visitors, if you're using the Pew Bibles, we just want everyone to know that I normally preach from the New King James Version. And this past week, one of the people that had visited our church noticed that we had different Pew Bibles. And so he donated. And he's bought 100 new Pew Bibles. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, and it's not that I have anything against the translation that's in the pew, but we have several publications as well. So if we have someone that comes and I say turn to page 545, that might be one pew Bible, but not necessarily the other. Please turn in the Word of God to John chapter 15, verse 11. John chapter 15, verse 11. Today's message is called The Joy That Christ Brings. The joy that Christ brings. Reading from the Word of God. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Father, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for the worship that we've just taken part in. Father, we give thanks for those that have come. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Forgive the teacher of sin, for they are many. Let his lips speak your truths and only your truths, and let us hear the soft sound of sandaled feet. In Jesus' name, amen. And today I come to saying this. I don't know everything about you folks here today. I do not. But one thing that I do know about everyone that is here today, I know this about every single person that is here today, is that you want to have joy in your life. I'm not here today to talk about joy, but about happiness. I'm here today to talk about joy, and I'm going to tell you the difference between the two. You know, joy is when, in spite of the circumstances, you can praise and worship God. Amen. Happiness is on the surface, amen?
Amen?
And so the reason I actually walked out here this morning, which is way out of my character, I usually hang out up there. Relax, Christopher, I'm not about to drag anybody out of the pews. Is I wanted to get your attention. Because we have far too many Christians who have little or no joy in their life. Their God is too small. And things have happened in life that have caused them harm. Whether it's the circumstances of life, the people we come across in life, or simply because we live in a sin-filled world, amen, on a fallen world. Now, you may have noticed that I said I forgot my notes, and so when I got here this morning, I printed them out on this. Don't get excited, it's just a few pages. My notes, as I've said many times, are not so that I know what to say. It's so I know only what to say. I have the blessing of being able to preach 4 or 5 hours. I'm not sure if you have the blessing of being able to sit here and listen for 4 or 5 hours. We want to understand that we should have joy in our lives. So let me ask you a question here. And some of our folks that are more mature in years will get this immediately. Have you ever lost something and looked and then found your keys in your pocket? Or your glasses on your face? Have you ever done that? Amen? The reason we initially missed them is because we were looking in the wrong place. And the reason that people don't have joy is that they're looking for joy in the wrong place. And joy is a necessity of the Christian life. to live the Christian life, God has determined that you are to live a life of joy. If you are right with God, there should be continual, conspicuous, contagious, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. You know, we're going to recognize them at the end of today's service, but today is Veterans Day. Today is Veterans Day, and we have many men here that throughout our church and around Fort Lauderdale that have served in the military. And we know that the circumstances of serving in the military are not always joyful. And I had a chance of sharing that in Sunday school this morning with three young boys, that even though there were things that were part of my life when I was in the military, things that I saw and did and had to take part in, that I was still able to keep my joy. Why? Because my joy is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, a Christian without joy is a contradiction in terms. A Christian without joy is a contradiction in terms. It's like saying there's a heavenly devil. There's no such thing as a heavenly devil. Amen? But I can tell you beyond a doubt, there are some in this room that have lost their joy. The sheer statistics bear that out. That there are some folks in this room that have lost their joy. And the joyful Christian life is important. In fact, the joyful Christian life is everything to the Christ follower. Now let me tell you why joy is so important. First, joy is important because it's important in winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, our best advertisement is the joy of the Lord. You know, King David loved the Lord with all of his heart, but even he lost his joy at times. If you look on the screen, we see Psalm chapter 51, verse 12. It says, "Restore in me, or restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by what? Your generous spirit." Why did David seek for his joy to return? Well, the next screen bears that out. "Because when I have your joy, Father, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Isn't that good? Why should we have joy? It's to bear witness to the goodness of God and to witness to people about the joy of the Christian life. Friends, if you are not a joyful Christian, you cannot be an effective soul winner. You simply cannot be. An unjoyful Christian sharing the gospel. Listen to me, everybody look up here. The unjoyful Christian sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is like watching someone walk up to you with a Bible under one arm and a tombstone under the other, saying, "Don't you want to live like I am?" The answer is what? No. No, I do not. If the Christian life is to be have all of this joy in it, then why would I want to be like that? What are you bearing witness to? You see, when you do that, you're saying, "Don't you want to be like I am?" But being joyful helps win the lost to Christ. Not only that, but being joyful is essential in getting through life's troubles. Amen? It takes strength to live the Christian life, regardless. I thought I'd get a testimony on that. I'm glad I brought my own. It takes strength to live the Christian life. And where are you going to get that strength? Simple. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Friends, heartache is going to come. Your heart is going to be broken in your life. But only through the joy of the Lord can we live as overcomers. Amen. I am an overcomer of those things in my life. Joy takes the weariness out of work. Joy removes the heart's burdens. Look at John chapter 15, verse 11 again. If you dare say amen. Amen. "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you." My joy is what Jesus says. Jesus is saying that the way to have fullness of joy is to have my, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, joy. I have 3 points today. First, the joy that Christ brings is marked by abounding joy. Abounding joy. Abounding joy. If you got that, say amen. Okay, look again right here. Verse 11. That my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be what? Full. That your joy may be full. Full is just another word for abounding. You know, the book of Hebrews reads that God the Father has anointed Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness above His companions. Now listen to me. That word gladness, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is going to blow some of you guys away. Here comes a nugget. Get ready for it. That word gladness literally means to leap and to dance with joy. Now think about that. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus leaping and dancing? But that's what the Word has said. You know, I've said so many times, we're Baptists. And when we have the joy of the Lord, we can move our hips or our feet, but not both. And we had a wonderful, awesome time last Sunday evening as we had the Dugall Gospel Quartet. Amen? What a great time that was. And Sister Sadie, she was right here. And she said, and I was sitting right there, and she said, and if the joy of the Lord takes you and you need to dance now, so be it. And as a pastor, I just kept my head straight forward. I said, I'm not going to look around in here. I'm just going to let God take care of that. Amen? But what a great time we had. You know, but can you imagine Jesus Christ leaping and dancing? I don't know what your concept of Jesus is, but I want you to get your worldly concept of who Christ is out of your mind. Stop thinking of Jesus as some pale, meek, sanctimonious, little religious guy. He was a carpenter. He was strong. His hands were rough. And according to Hebrews, he had joy that was like leaping and dancing before the Lord. Jesus lived a life of abundant joy. Abounding joy. And one of the ways that I know that Christ lived a life of abounding joy is because that little children loved Him. You know, sometimes we are impatient with children. And we should not be. Are they going to move around in church? Yes. Are we going to have babies while we're looking for someone to demand the nursery that are going to cry a little bit or simply shout out what they want being babies in our church? Yes. But hallelujah, children loved Jesus. I remember the story that Jesus was there with the disciples and all the multitude was about, and the children tried to come to Him. And what did the disciples do? No, you can't come here. You can't be messing up our service here. Stay away. What? What, Jesus? Yes? Oh, no, come on up here. Jesus would like to see you. See, that's how we are sometimes with children. It's okay for children to fidget a little bit in church. Let me tell you about preachers. It cracks us up. Because here's what we see that you don't. We get to see in the middle of our sermon the face of the parent trying to tone this child down. When the child is saying, the reason I'm moving is this guy up here is not saying anything that sounds real interesting. And so that makes us preachers better. Be patient with children in church. Amen? Jesus loved children. Jesus lived a life of exuberant joy. You know, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice in the Lord. Now, the only way that you can rejoice always, which means everlasting, is to rejoice in who? The Lord. Now, let me clarify something. I get it. I really do. And I know that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy gives meaning to your life. Happiness just puts a smile on your face. But joy goes past the outward person. Joy goes into the inward character. Joy will help you meet your deepest need. That's why I'm saying to you that you need joy. You see, happiness is like a thermometer. It registers the condition. Joy of the Lord is the thermostat that controls the conditions. You see, if the sanctuary gets really hot in August, you can register it all you want and tell people, yep, it's 88 degrees in here. I have the joy of being able, the happiness of being able to tell you that. But your joy is when that puppy goes back down, amen? And that's what joy is. It's the thermostat. Joy is inward. Happiness is outward. And happiness evaporates in times of trouble. I'm going to say that again. Happiness evaporates in times of trouble. But inward joy will be intensified because you hold on tighter to Christ. You hold on tighter to the Lord. And when joy and happiness work together, that's wonderful. That's an amazing thing. We all have moments when the happy times are here and the joy of the Lord is in our heart. What a wonderful combination that is. But friend, when happiness goes, you need the joy of the Lord more than ever before. Amen. When your heart is in pain, putting a happy face on it doesn't help a bit. I'm going to say that again. When your heart is broken, putting a happy face on it does not help one bit. Listen to me. Only the joy of the Lord can get you through that. And sometimes it takes time. Amen? Sometimes it simply takes time. Listen, guys. This is so important. Joy is not the subtraction of your problems. Amen? Joy is the addition of the power to meet them. Joy is not the subtraction of your problems. Joy is the addition of Almighty God's power to meet your afflictions. That is what abounding joy is. It's the power of Almighty God in your life. So not only is there the joy Christ brings is marked by an abounding joy, the joy Christ brings is also, point number two, is marked by an abiding joy. And abiding joy, our second point today, if we can get that up on the screen. Okay? It's also marked by pain. That's a sub point, but that's good. Put it back up there. That's fine. That's what happens when we get the wrong notes. They're both going to be the same thing. And here's why I can tell you that. It's because I wanted another A. Amen. If you have abounding joy, abiding joy. Matter of fact, while I'm on it, let's go ahead and fill in your third point so I can just preach. Amen? Your third point is abundant joy. Abounding joy, abiding joy, and abundant joy. Now, this joy, the joy that Christ brings, the joy that Christ brings is also marked by pain. Amen? Look in that verse again, Jesus says that my joy might remain in you. This is not joy that comes and goes even though you have pain in your life. It's joy in the good times. It's joy in the bad times. It's joy in the night times, the daytime. It's joy in the rainy day, the sunny day. It's joy in the times of joy. And it's joy in the times of tragedy in your life. It is a joy that is still there, no matter the circumstances, because it is the joy of the Lord. Now listen to me, Christians. Here's the fact. For the Christian, that joy may be buried deep. It may be buried deep in your sorrow, but it is there. And you just have to hang in there and talk to your godly Father. You may be saying, Pastor, the reason that you're saying that is that you don't know what I'm going through right now, Pastor. You don't know my life. You don't know the things I live through. You don't know the heartaches I'm going through. You don't know the tears. You don't know the pain. You don't know how I've been treated by others. You don't know the financial issues that I'm facing. If you did, you wouldn't say that. Pastor, I am desperate to regain what I've lost. I am desperate to regain what I've lost. God says, I want you to be desperate for me. Be desperate for me and your joy will return. Be desperate for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your joy will return. Be desperate for the power of the Holy Spirit. Your joy will return. But still, you're right. I don't know what you're going through. But here's what I do know. And that's what Jesus was facing at that very moment. You see, in this scene here, within just a couple of chapters, the Lord Jesus Christ was facing Gethsemane, Calvary. And He's reminding them of joy? Seriously, Lord? He's reminding them of joy? Listen, yes, the Lord Jesus had tears. Yes, the Lord Jesus had pain. But still, He had joy in His heart. Why? Because He was doing His Father's will. Amen. He was going forward with what God had called Him to do. He was bearing testimony to the goodness of God. Because in the deepest part of our pain, in the deepest part of our circumstances, in the deepest part of our heartache, never forget that, church, God is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You see, listen to me, friends. Christ went through those things. And let me tell you four things real quick about the abiding joy in times of pain. First, it's steadfast in its sorrow. If you have a journal with you today, mark that down. It is steadfast in your sorrow. In John chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus said, "Your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Do you have sorrow in your life? God will turn your sorrow into joy. Second, the joy of the Lord is triumphant in tribulation. It's triumphant in your tribulations. Jesus said, what? In this world, you will have tribulations. He didn't say it might come. He said it will come. But look at the screen right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4. Watch this. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulations. In all of our tribulation. Paul and Silas were in a prison at midnight. In a prison, singing praises to the Lord. And you cannot sing praises to God triumphantly unless you have joy in your heart. Third, this joy is lasting in your losses. Have you lost something? Have you lost someone? Have you had things taken and ripped out of your heart? The joy of the Lord will get you through that. It may take times, but it will get you through that. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 reads, "And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." In other words, something had happened to the Hebrews. And Paul, and the author of the book of Hebrews, was writing to them and said, "You looked upon that loss joyfully." Joyfully. There's a story of Pastor David Jeremiah tells. I may have told this here before. It's not going to stop me one second from telling it again. He had a businessman who was consumed with being successful in his business. And Pastor Jeremiah told him, "What you need to do is give that to the Lord. Because it is stunting your Christian growth. Give that business to the Lord." And sure enough, two nights later, David Jeremiah gets a call that this man, very successful, very wealthy businessman, his business was burning and is like a 7-alarm fire. Dr. Jeremiah jumped in his car and he drove down there and he sees the brother in Christ standing there and he's got his hands in his pocket. He's just got a small smile on his face. And Dr. Jeremiah said, "John, I'm so sorry about this. I'm so sorry about this, that you're losing all of this." He said, "But I don't understand. What, you seem so calm and you're smiling." He goes, "Dr. Jeremiah, I took your advice. I gave this business to the Lord. He can do whatever He wants to with it." You see, that's the joy of the Lord. So when you came home from church today, what would happen if you came home from church today and everything's gone? Your house is burned down. Or thieves came in and took everything from you. Or you discovered that somebody cheated you out of your money when you check your bank account and you're destitute. should you lose your joy, I'm not talking about happiness, should you lose your joy? Absolutely not. Because if you lose your joy because of that, you are getting your joy in the wrong place. Your joy was in your circumstances. Your joy was in what you had, rather than who He is. Take joy in who He is. Your joy was in your circumstances. The joy of the Lord is lasting in losses. And fourth, the joy of the Lord is abundant in affliction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 reads, "You have received the word in much affliction with the joy," I'm using the King James Version, "with the joy of the Holy Ghost." Holy Ghost power will get you through those times. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you imagine that God, through Paul, links affliction with joy of the Lord? Now, the joy of Jesus is an abounding joy. The joy of Jesus is an abiding joy, even in your pain. And now we talk about the joy of Jesus is an abundant joy. You may be asking today, how can I have abundant joy, Pastor Larry? Now, if your mind's been wandering a little bit, if you've been glancing at your clock watch, if you've been looking around, I need you to focus. Because we're going to talk about having not just the joy of the Lord, but abundant, overwhelming joy of the Lord. Look at verse 11 one more time. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Listen to me, guys. Let me just back up and cover what Jesus has been talking about here to them. You see, in verse chapter 15, if you have a New King James Bible, you'll notice that the topic of conversation there at the start of the chapter is the true vine. Amen? It's the true vine. Jesus speaks of Himself as the vine, and He speaks of us as what? The branches. And He tells us that the branch is to abide in the vine. And when we do that, Jesus says in verse 11, there is abundant, abiding joy. What does it mean to abide? How do you abide so as to have this abundant joy? Well, first it means we surrender. Look at verses 4 and 5. If you're there, say amen. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do what, church? Nothing. You can do nothing." Now just imagine Jesus is the vine. And imagine the branch. That's you. Stay with me. Don't miss the point. This is important. A branch exists for one reason. The vine. You have one purpose in your life, branches. That is the vine. Not two reasons. Not one and a half reasons. One reason. And the branch must fully surrender to the vine. You must completely abide in the vine. So I ask today, those of you sitting here, those of you listening or watching on the internet, have you completely and fully surrendered to Christ? Have you done that in your life? I don't mean generally surrendered. I don't mean kind of surrendered. Let me check out this church and Jesus thing. Your life to Christ. Friends, you need to get alone with the Lord and you need to give Him the keys to your heart to unlock the deepest parts, to open up and look at the hurt and the terrible things that have gone on in there, and completely surrender to Him. And I mean the keys that open the deepest and most embarrassing, painful parts of your heart. Now, Satan will try to discourage you from doing that. Satan will say, don't do that. Don't open your heart like that to the Lord. Don't do that. If you give Him everything, there's no telling what He'll ask of you. He may want you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ out in the streets. Amen? You may be sitting here today like I was at one time in my life, unwilling to give that last little bit of my heart to God. You know, I'm a former military. And we like to think of ourselves as strong, upright, able men. And we always have that one little piece we reserve for ourselves. But I finally prayed. And I said, Lord, I am not willing to give all of this to You. But I am willing for You to take it from me. I'm willing for You to take this hurt. I'm willing for You to take this pain. I'm willing for You to take this embarrassing sin out of my life. And friends, as the Lord is my witness, God took that burden from my heart. He took it from my mind. I was changed in an instant. And every day since then, one thing pounds in my joy-filled heart. I am His. I am His. Glory be to God. I am His. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him some praise in His house. You must surrender your life to the true vine. Second, you must live a life of dependence on that vine. You see, the joy of Jesus is when you depend upon the Lord. Verse 15 ends with Jesus saying, without Me, you can do nothing. Well, that seems a little rude. Friends, without Jesus, in the scope of eternity, we are nothing and without hope. Because when we start thinking that we're really all that, then in our heart, God is not everything. And to have joy unspeakable, God must be everything in your heart. Now here's the good news. You guys ready for some good news? Here's the good news. God specializes in making something out of nothing. That's what He specializes in. When you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have abundant joy. You'll have the abundant life. Surrender, dependence. Look at this third as rest. Look at verse 9. If you dare say amen. Amen. As the Father loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love. Jesus loves you. No one else may love you, but look at here. Jesus loves you. Pastor Larry, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. That's not rhetoric. That's an absolute truth. So let Him love you. That will give you rest. That will give you the abundant joy in your heart. You know, we generally rush through life searching for answers to difficult questions. What do we do nowadays? Well, back in my day, we had encyclopedias. Or the neighbor had encyclopedias. Nowadays, what do? Google it. What a mess that can be. Hallelujah. Listen, guys. Biblically speaking, the branch, that's you, should reduce life to one single truth if you want abounding joy. That is to abide in the vine. That is the single truth you need to leave. Because whatever the question may be, Jesus Christ is not only an answer, Jesus Christ is the only answer. Whatever the question in your life, Christ is the answer. Well, Pastor Larry, if we are His and we're the branch, then what you're telling me that when it's summertime and the branch needs water, the branch doesn't have to worry about where the water comes from. That's the job of the vine. Amen? When it's springtime and the branch needs buds, the branch doesn't have to worry about where the buds are going to come from because it abides in the vine. When harvest time comes, I don't have to worry about the grapes. I don't have to worry about how big the grapes are, or how abundant the grapes are, or how sweet they are, or how firm or how soft they are. That's none of my business. Because I don't produce the fruit. That's the job of what? The vine. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. You cannot create or force joy. Are you with me, church? Say amen. I'm going to say it one more time. You cannot create or force joy. It must come from the Lord. When your heart's broken, you cannot force yourself in your own power to be joyful. Joy comes only through abiding abundantly in Christ. Look at verse 10 now. Oh, now we're going to start meddling in our life. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus could speak of His joy because He kept the commandments of the Father. And folks, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus Christ but to trust and obey. We sing that, don't we? Trust and obey. If I were to ask you today, keep your hands down, how many of you today love Jesus? I suppose we'd all lift our hands. But look back over to chapter 14, just one chapter before. Verse 15. If you dare, say amen. Amen. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So how is God going to manifest Himself to you? The manifestation of God in your life, the manifestation of His presence in your heart is joy unspeakable and full of glory as you, my dear friends, obey the Lord. You need to surrender. You need to depend upon Him. You need to rest on the Lord. You need to be obedient. But you also need to rejoice. You need to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 11 again, these things I have spoken in you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy means to rejoice. It means that church is to be an exciting, joyful place. We're not to come here looking like we just drank a jar of pickle juice. God's people are to be joyful. I know you've got problems. So do I. I know you have heartaches. So do I. And that's why you need joy in your life. That's why you need the joy of the Lord. But you know, when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, He told them this on the screen. If you look at the screen, Luke chapter 10 verse 20. We have Luke chapter 10 verse 20 back there. All right, well let's turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 verse 20. It's only back one book. Luke chapter 10 verse 20. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If they're in a paper Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. In other words, don't rejoice in the powers that you've been given. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice in the stuff you have. Don't rejoice in the skills you have. Don't rejoice in the giftedness or the intellect God has given you. If you're a Christian, rejoice because your name is written in God's heaven. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. If you are one of the redeemed children of God, here's what I'm going to tell you. Newsflash. Your name is already written in heaven. Already. But here's the problem. You are traveling. You are on a journey from earth to heaven, amen? You are traveling. And here's the problem for some people. They know that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They know they're on the road to eternity with Christ and God's heaven. But they are traveling second class because they have no joy in their life. Listen to me. I'm a rowdy Christian. I am. I am unapologetic about that. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important. I am heaven born. Pardon me. I am heaven born and I am heaven bound. Amen?
Amen.
I am heaven born and I am heaven bound. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so are you. And my genuine joy is found in Christ. Why? Because as verse 11 says, that His joy might remain in me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But listen, friends. If you want to go to heaven today, or go, well, we all want to go today. Let me rephrase that. What's the old saying? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go today. But I do. If the Lord came back right this second, what if I were to say this to you? I just got a word from the Lord. He is going to rapture the church in 2 minutes. Hallelujah. See, if that doesn't fill your heart with joy, we got a problem. If that fills your heart with fear or trepidation, we got a problem. But we can take care of that right now. Amen? Because the way to have that joy is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Why Jesus Christ? Because of what God said so in John chapter 14, verse 6. Help me out here, church. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I like it when the church talks back to the preacher. Now listen to me. I usually don't say anything, but today I'm going to ask that no one move around during the invitation. I'm going to ask that you don't get up and walk out. This is being videoed. This is on the internet. Because people, whether they're here in this sanctuary or they're watching on the internet, they are at a crossroads in their life. And you might disturb them while they are making the most important decision that they will ever make. They're making an eternal decision on whether or not to receive Jesus Christ. And as I'm talking through this next moment or two, every Christian in this house should be praying that the Holy Ghost would impress upon people that they need Jesus Christ as Lord. So everyone, as our praise team comes, I want you to bow your heads now. I want every Christian here in a spirit of prayer. No one moving around. No one looking up. Father, we pray in the strong name of Jesus that You would bless this invitation and that many will say an everlasting yes to Christ and His church. If you are here today and you came here today without Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, we want to take care of that right now. Every Christian here is praying for you. But let's suppose that something happened in this service. It might have happened while you were visiting Sunday school. It might have happened while we were singing and praising God's name in our songs, in worship songs. It might have happened with the smile of that sweet greeter that greeted you as you walked in the door. It may have happened because this old preacher said something to God's Word. But in a moment you were changed. I want you to know that you are already the redeemed of God. But why don't we formalize that? In a moment we're going to pray. And I want you to repeat quietly in your heart what I pray. And receive Christ as Lord. You may already be saved, but you know that you've lost the joy in your heart. And so I want you to take that moment while we're praying to ask God for that abundant, abiding joy to return in your life. You may be a visitor here today, or you need to be baptized. Whatever God has laid upon your heart, you need to take care of today. So with everyone in prayer, praying for the lost, praying for this time of decision, for those of you that have received Jesus Christ as Lord for the first time today, repeat these words quietly to yourself. The words do not save you. You're already saved. But let's formalize it. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came from heaven to earth in human form. I believe You lived a perfect, sinless life. I believe You died on the cross of Calvary as a once and for all sacrifice for my sins. I believe they took You down off of that cruel cross, placed You in the grave, and You were there for 3 days. But on the third day, I believe that You rose again to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, Lord Jesus, because You have defeated death in the grave, today I receive You as my Lord. You are my Savior. Please save me, Lord Jesus. I confess I'm a sinner. And I will live for You to the best of my ability. all the days of my life. We pray all of these things in the strong, magnificent, omniscient, omnipresent, powerful, great name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Why don't you turn into wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are high.